Tonight we're reading from Psalm 77. I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyes open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water, the skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footsteps were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Amen.
Well, thank you, David, and to all who've led us through the service. And it's our privilege to turn again to God's word. I reckon if each of us were having an honest and open conversation with one another, we would have to acknowledge that life has not always been easy. There have been times when life seems to have thrown up its fair share of disappointments, times, situations, when we were tempted or indeed did ask, where is God in all of this? The Psalms, of course, are a good place to come to when we are going through tough times and we feel we could never tell God how bad we feel, as if he didn't already know. Psalm 77, as already indicated, the psalmist had most certainly reached a low point, indeed a very low point. Where are you, God? Would seem to express what the psalmist was thinking at this particular time. We don't know fully what the cause was to cause Asa to express himself as he does in this psalm, but the reality is that many of us have been there or will be there in the psalmist's dark night of the soul at some stage on our journey. There are times in the believer's life when God seems far away, and some of us may know what it is to have been there, or perhaps are there, and even today. You only see my face, I only see your face, but we know what's happening in each of our hearts. And let's remind ourselves that the God that we speak of knows that in detail. So let's pray that God will help us as we turn to this psalm. Let's bow for a moment to ask for his help. Our Father, we thank you again for all that you have said to us as we have sung together, as we have listened to your word, been read. And we thank you that you speak to us personally through your word, by your spirit. And so we pray for your help for us as we speak and as we listen, that together we might know you speaking into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may find it helpful just to keep the psalm open. That's at page 488 in the church Bible. Now, as we look at the first six verses in particular, we notice something of the psalmist's despair. What does the psalmist say? Well, I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I mourn. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. The psalmist's despair. My soul refuses to be comforted. You see, it appears that the psalmist finds no comfort that is suited to his particular need. Here is someone in the darkness of despair. There is an answer. There is a promise and so forth for everyone and anyone, but not for him. Might I ask the question, have you ever been there? When you're going through a dark, dark patch and you feel that surely there's an answer for everybody, but the darkness you're in, there's no answer. The dark night of the soul. As the sick man turns away from the most nourishing food, so did he, says Spurgeon. My soul refuses to be comforted. Here was a man who was in darkness, and yet he could seem to find no comfort. When I remember God, I mourn. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You see, the justice, power, holiness, truth, and love of God could not bring him comfort. It appears the psalmist could see only darkness and despair. He was filled with the horrible suspicion that any comfort there was did not apply to him. Again, if I can quote Spurgeon, Spurgeon speaks of the deep glens and lonely caves of soul depression and goes on to say, my spirit knows full well your awful gloom. And Spurgeon did. And might I just say to somebody who may be sitting in this service this evening or listening in, and you may feel that you are the only individual who could ever be going through such darkness. Some of the saints that we thank God for are some of those who have gone through some of the darkest valleys, but discovered that God was there. The psalmist was speechless. It would seem he could not talk about this trouble to man, and I wonder if he was finding it difficult to express in words how he really felt to the Lord. Have you ever been there? What does verse 4 say to us? You hold my eyelids open. I am troubled that I cannot speak. He was awake. He couldn't get to sleep. but it would seem he couldn't even address his burdens and concerns to the Lord. The psalmist could remember brighter, better days. And while at first this seemed only to deepen a sense of despair and gloom, perhaps they were the seeds of hope. Verse 5 says, I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. It's the Living Bible that translates this. It says, I keep thinking of the good old days of the past, long since ended. Then my nights were filled with joyous songs. I search my soul and meditate upon them now. And perhaps that's an encouragement for us, just some of the encouragements of life, to remember those in some of the darkest moments that we may face in life. He remembered a song in the night in a previous occasion when he could sing in the dark. And it is good to remind ourselves, and especially at such times, of the truth that Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8. Let me just read these verses to you. The Spirit helps our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Have you ever been there? Where the burden was such, the weight was such upon your soul, that you find you couldn't get words to express it. Listen to what Paul says again. He who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Even those darkest hours that you and I may face, in the providence of God, can cause them to work for our good and indeed for the blessing of others. Again, we're reminded in Hebrews of our great high priest. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when you or I are going through those deep, deep valleys where we feel very difficult to find words to express what is there, let's remind ourselves that there is one, the man in the glory, the Lord Jesus, who is interceding for us. Those five bleeding wounds that pour effectual prayers that strongly plead for me. Dear friend, if you are in Christ, there is a man in the glory, even in your darkest hour, whose nail prints are before the throne of the Father, interceding for you. The psalmist goes on to question verse 7, verse 9. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased and his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Has God Will God? Will the Lord spurn forever? Might we ask a further question? Who said the Lord was spurning, rejecting the psalmist? Where did such a depressive thought come from? Let's remind ourselves of one who is known as the accuser of the brethren, the devil himself, and all the muck and dirt he will raise up and accuse us. My dear brother and sister, if you and I have repented of that, it's forgiven. And you can point to the Word of God and to the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Has his steadfast love forever ceased? What are we reminded of God's Word in Jeremiah? I have loved you with an everlasting love. If you are in Christ, you are loved with an everlasting love. And then the psalmist, again in Psalm 106, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And then we are asked the question, has his promise come to an end? Has his promise come to an end? Has the promise of God come to an end? Has it ceased? Does it no longer apply? I have loved you with an everlasting love. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Listen again to some words from Hebrews. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purposes, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Here are promises that cannot fail, that cannot be broken. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And so, has God forgotten to be gracious, merciful? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Has the Mighty One become great in everything but grace? What does Paul remind us in Corinthians 2, verse 3 of chapter 1? That God is the Father of mercy. God is the one with whom mercy began. Has God forgotten to be gracious, to be merciful? But maybe you've been there. You maybe are there. Then we begin to see the psalmist's insight. Verse 10 through 15. Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Here the psalmist is saying, I'm going to stop for a moment, and I'm going to remember the deeds of the Lord. I'm going to look at the facts of history, the things that have happened. And I'm going to begin to build my foundation of confidence, not on how I'm feeling, where someone has said, feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Not else is worth believing. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. The psalmist's insight. It would appear that as the psalmist reasoned these questions through, in his own mind he is beginning to understand that the clear answer is that God hasn't abandoned him, that God hasn't forgotten to be merciful. So he begins to move along the pathway of history. He remembers, if you'll pardon a further quote from Spurgeon, in his wonderful way, makes the comment, when faith has its 7 years of famine, memory like Joseph in Egypt opens her granaries. Begins to remember the truths, the facts. Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. Here the psalmist is discovering, as Derek Kinder points out, that right hand links the past to the present. What God has done for his people in the past, how he has intervened in their lives in the past, how God has stood by his people through the darkest valleys. He hasn't changed, and he'll stand with us now. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? When he ponders all the works the psalmist sees, God's character is holy. You see, holy is not merely an attribute of God. That is who God is. The problem is not with God, but with the psalmist's perception of God. God is too loving to be unkind, and he is too wise to make mistakes. You and I always like quick fixes, don't we? And there are just some times when God in his providence and in his wisdom knows that you and I have journeys to go through, that we might learn lessons as we go through those journeys that we might not learn in other ways. And very often, and probably if we were to open and share testimony among us this evening, there will be individuals who would say, I look back to that difficult period with thanksgiving for what God taught me in the midst of it. And so we find the psalmist's conclusion, just the last few verses. We read these words. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lightened up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Who could have seen the footprints of God in these dark and difficult circumstances? Here we find the psalmist concludes, God, you were there and at work all along, though your footprints were not seen. See, what is referring back to here is the crashing waters of the Red Sea. They had to submit to the sovereign power of God. His footprints were not seen. But who parted the waves? Think of the cross. Think of the Lord Jesus nailed to a Roman cross and crying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where was God in all of this? Paul reminds us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Think of the tender shepherd's care. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron through the Red Sea. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't judge God by what you see. Again, the words of William Cowper that we've been singing, God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform, he plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Listen to this exhortation from Cowper. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. Are you here as a fearful saint this evening? You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessing on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. These words that Cowper penned those years ago weren't just things that he penned because they thought they'd be nice to pen. But Cowper knew what it was to be in the depth of despair and to prove and know the mercy of God. There is the question, where are you, God? But also the question, where was God? Well, verse 19 reminds us, you were there, even though your footprints were not seen. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold. I could never keep my hold. Through life's fearful path, For my love is often cold, he must hold me fast. He must hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. None of us would see safely through the journey were it we who were holding his hand, we would let go at some stage. But dear brother and sister, if you're in Christ, however dark your moment may be, and however much it may seem that there is no evidence of the footprints of God in your circumstances, remember the Red Sea. There were no footprints seen there, but God was there. And may the Lord encourage you and encourage me to trust him. And if you're here tonight and you're not trusting in the Lord Jesus, can I encourage you to do so? And know what it is to go through this world with all of its difficulties, with all of its challenges, with all of its concerns, but to be safe and secure in the hand of a God who cares for you, even in the most difficult experiences of life. O fathomless mercy, O infinite grace, with humble thanksgiving, the road I retrace, thou never hast failed me, my strength and my stay. To whom shall I turn for the rest of the way? Through dangers, through darkness, by day and by night, thou ever hast guided and guided aright. In thee have I trusted, and peacefully lay my hand in thy hand. For the rest of the way, the cross is my refuge, thy blood all my plea. None other I need, bless Jesus, but thee. I fear not the shadow at close of life's day, for thou wilt go with me the rest of the way. The God who has been with you, with me, if we are in Christ, will be with us the rest of the way, however long or ever short that is. But can we ask one another to make sure that we are in Christ, and then in Christ rest in his great faithfulness to us? Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this psalm that just encourages us that you're a God that we can trust. Help us to do so. And we ask this in the strong name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.